Once you kind of have the principles down of differentiating yourself and your business and your artistic voice, there might be a lull for a second if you're making a big shift in your artistic voice or how you express things. And that's just because your audience either is going to change or get used to it. And that's okay. That's normal. But once you do that, there's going to be a big influx of people realizing that what you offer, they can't find anywhere else. And when that happens, you're going to get booked out quickly. And when you're getting booked out quickly, that's a sign that you need to raise your prices. And so once you're able to start building this art and these client experiences and this brand that they can't find anywhere else, you're going to be able to raise your prices. Cause again, it's kind of the antithesis of what I said before, which is like, if you're doing what everyone else is doing, your only differentiator might be pricing. And then you're just going to have to keep lowering your prices or outbidding people to get hired. Whereas if you're like, hey, I'm the only person who can give you this, they're going to pay whatever they need to pay in order to do that. Right. One of the things I'll say about scaling and like raising your prices, cause I think it can be really scary to people. You don't have to do these big giant jumps. I think a lot of people convince themselves they're going to raise their pricing. They need to double it or add like several thousand dollars on, or even several hundred dollars on. It's like, okay, you don't have to like do these big jumps at once, but like maybe every time you book 5 shoots, you add on an extra $50 or $100, and you just do it in increments, because at the end of the day, $50 isn't going to change someone's mind. $100 might not even change someone's mind. Say you raise your prices like $100 a month all year, that's still $1,200 extra shoot that you're getting, which is crazy. That adds up really, really quickly. That's one of the things I would focus on. The sooner you get unique, the sooner you can charge more and just incrementally raise your prices.
You're listening to the Build and Bloom podcast with host Jessica Whitaker, an educator of film and digital photography to beginners, both in workshops across the globe and online. Creator of the Build and Bloom group on Facebook, one of the largest and most engaged photography communities with over 60,000 members, and founder of nonprofit Sister Sister, a monthly networking group for young women in media. Jessica Whitaker cuts the fluff and will help you to grow your photography business with practical, actionable tips in every episode. If you're ready for a roadmap to a better personal and professional balance, then Build and Bloom podcast will help encourage, empower, and educate you to not only build your dream business, but sustain it. And now, here's your host, Jessica Whitaker.
This podcast episode is brought to you by my Business Basics class. I teach you the 8 essential steps to get your business legal and legit so you can watch it bloom. You'll learn the basics of what is an LLC and the first steps to opening one up, opening a business bank account, how to find an accountant, what is bookkeeping and how can you do it yourself to save some money, what contracts and legal documents to consider and where you can buy them, the starting point for saving for your retirement, how to find a financial advisor, and where to start looking for business insurance. When you avoid getting all these ducks in a row, you are risking getting sued, paying more in taxes, and missing out on turning your income into more money. Head to jessicawhitaker.co/businessbasics to enroll. Thanks again to myself for sponsoring my podcast episode. Hey photographer, Jessica Whitaker here. Welcome to the Build and Bloom Photography Podcast. In this episode, I'm joined by photography educator Eden Strader. Today, we're learning about branding, and we're going to go deeper than visual aesthetics of fonts and color palettes. Eden is going to share how to overcome a saturated market with your branding, how to break business rules, and how a Twitter fight calling her out on her editing style changed the path of her artistic career. Eden Strader is a destination wedding photographer turned business coach, leading creative entrepreneurs in building a life of artistic growth, wealth, and freedom. She's built a 6-figure company before age 23 and has helped hundreds of business owners step up into their dream businesses. All of Eden's information will be linked in the description of this episode, as well as a free marketing quiz that will tell you what social media platform you should be prioritizing. Let's get into the show. Eden, I am so excited to have you on the Build and Bloom Photography Podcast and just talking about branding, because this is really one of your many areas of expertise. So will you introduce yourself to the audience?
Oh my gosh, yes. Thank you for having me on. I'm like, branding is my favorite thing to talk about. So I'm always just giddy to talk about it. But I'm Eden Strader. I am a previous destination wedding photographer, now turned business coach. I'm based in Brooklyn, New York now, and have been for the last 18 months or so. And yeah, I help photographers and creative entrepreneurs scale their businesses and build their businesses into like beautiful hubs that fulfill their life, but stand as a stepping stone or tool to like their dream life, rather than being the end destination. That's kind of like at the foundation of everything in my business is that we should love our businesses and they should be incredible and like fulfilling both emotionally and financially, but that they shouldn't be the entirety of our lives and that they should provide us ways to have beautiful lives outside them. So yeah, that's a little bit about me. This is one of my favorite things to like start on, because whether you've been in business, honestly, for like 6 days or 6 years, you would be so shocked how many people like don't fully understand what a brand is. Branding is so often misconstrued or like thought of as, you know, aesthetics, logos, kind of like the visual representation of your business. And while that is an element of brand, it's not actually what a brand is. It's a way of communicating what the brand is. And I think sometimes, and maybe it's because we're also like visual artists, I don't know, but I feel like there's such a misconception, especially in the creative industry, that your brand, your branding is just like what you see when you think of your company. When in reality, your brand is so much more. It's kind of a manifestation of you and who you are and everything you bring to the table, which can feel really daunting. I think for a lot of people, they're like, oh my gosh, that's so like vague and big and specific all at once. And when we think of like the brand, the way I want you to think of it is that it's kind of like a house. Like our business is a house, and at the foundation is our brand. And that's who we are. It's our values. It's what we bring to the table, both as a human and as an artist. And then we have to build pillars next. Like on top of the foundation, we build these pillars. And those are things like aesthetics, logo, client experience, social media marketing. All of those things should be rooted in your brand and standing on your brand in order to make your business like beautiful and successful and aligned and, you know, eventually scale it even to six figures or whatever your goal is. But in order to have a cohesive business and brand, everything has to be built on that foundation that is like who you are and what you bring to the table, both as an artist and creative. And so I think it's really important to kind of switch the mindset from like, oh yeah, I need to get my brand. Like I've heard so many photographers and creatives be like, yeah, I need to get my branding done. Like I need to get, you know, my logo and my colors and all of that good stuff. And I'm like, yes, that is your brand aesthetics. Like that is your brand aesthetics. That's correct. But it's not your branding as a whole. And so it's really important before you start strategizing what your logo is going to look like or what your client experience will be like, or, you know, how you're going to market on social media, that you develop that foundation of who you are and that brand foundation of what your business is going to bring to the world in the market.
So then how do you identify your brand?
Ooh, I love that. I think it's an important distinction also to talk about your niche, because that's a way that you communicate your brand or that you classify your brand, but it isn't your brand. And I think a lot of people, it's calmed down a little bit in the industry now, but I feel like we used to hear a ton of rhetoric about like how to niche down or like why you should niche down. And no one ever really like defined what niching even is. Like we just kind of tossed it around like a buzzword. And niching is kind of like what you do, whereas brand is like why and how you do it. And so I think those are two very important things to just like identify. So like, for example, me and you are kind of in a similar niche. We are both photography educators. However, both of our brands are so, so different. And because they're just like reflections of who we are as human beings, they describe how we do things, how we coach our clients. And so you can, one, if it's a little easier to like establish your niche, I think it is, than to identify your brand. That takes a lot more self-work, but identify your niche first and like try to get as specific as you can with it, right? So like even, you know, you mentioned like you coach a lot of photographers earlier on in their careers. I coach a lot of photographers when they're kind of like in the mid to later range of scaling their business, or,
they're,
you know, like
turning point up.
They're at a turning point of their business. Yeah. I don't do like a ton of education on kind of like the front end of when you're first getting started. So that's like a way that we could, you know, separate our niches even further. And then after that, that's when you can really get into the brand. And when you're trying to figure out your business brand and like what it is, the first piece of advice I have, which can seem a little counterintuitive, so I always ask people, I'm like, just trust me for a second. And for those of you that don't know me yet, I'm like, still, please try to trust me for just a moment. So I'm like, I'm sure people are listening that are like, who is this girl? But I'm going to challenge you to take your business out of it for a minute while you try to identify your brand. Like, I just want you to think of yourself as a human being and try to take the business out of it, because at the end of the day, even if we have beautiful money mindsets, we live in a capitalist society where we literally pay for, like, you know, food, drink, water, like shelter with money. So it's really easy for the concept of money to taint our perspective naturally. That's completely understandable. So I want you to take the business out of it for a second so we can kind of remove even that subconscious, like, but what do I need to do to earn more money? Like, if we can just remove that for a second, we can identify the brand a little bit more genuinely and aligned.
When you say this, is it kind of the idea of removing that temptation of, but what's popular and what's trending, even with visual aesthetics? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go for more of the cream, the sage, the terracotta colors. But in reality, mm-hmm. what colors you're more interested in and that are truly you, probably what you wear, what you decorate your home with. You love hot pink. You love cobalt blue. So is that even an example of?
Yes.
Step away.
Absolutely.
Step away from the society.
Yeah, no, truly. Well, and it's like, I also want to say, like, how normal it is to look at other people and what they're doing, or to look at the industry and see, like, what is going to make me successful? Like, how do I get this off the ground? Like, especially when you're first starting, like, you're so passionate about your business. You just want it to be successful. So even if you're not, like, consciously making the decision to think about other people and what they're doing and what's going to make you successful, even subconsciously, there's going to be just like this little inkling of like, but what does the industry want to see? Like, what's going to do well? What's going to get me off the ground? So when you take your business out of it, you kind of can hack your brain into just like chilling for a second and like not thinking about all these people you were just scrolling on Instagram and like seeing be so successful. So I want you to just kind of think of yourself on your own, even as an artist, if you'd like. And I usually recommend asking yourself three questions, which are, what are my greatest strengths? Like, what do I personally feel like I'm really strong with? And this isn't a time for like, ugh, well, I'm not good at this or I'm not good at this. Like, no, we all have weaknesses that should be talked about in therapy. We're not going to talk about it right now. We're just going to talk about our strengths because I'm sure you can identify some. And if you can't, that kind of leads me to my next question, which is, how do I want my friends and family to feel when they interact with me? Or like, how would they describe me? And if you can't answer that for yourself, ask them, right? Like, shoot them a text. Hey, mom and dad. Hey, sister. Hey, best friend. Like, how do you feel when you're around me? Or like, what are some qualities that you feel like I bring to our relationship? And the third thing is like, how do I want my life to feel? Like, if I could just snap my fingers and have like my dream life right now, what would it look like? What would it feel like? What are these aspects that I would really want to see present? And whether you are like an auditory processor or you like writing, whatever it is, just kind of like get that out there, like write it down, write out all of these concepts. And then I want you to look at them and think of ways that you can now bring this into your business. Like, this is where we're going to introduce the business back into it. So like, for example, I am like a really blunt person. And I'm like very, very upfront. And I really, really love my loved ones to feel encouraged, like they can do anything. And like, sometimes I can be a little too blunt, like to the point where they're like, let me figure this out myself. And I'm like, do I want you to be successful? Like, let me help. And like, I am the friend that you text if you like want to drop out of college or like quit your job, because I'll be like, yes, let's do it. Let's start a business. Like 100%. Let's go. Quit tomorrow. Like, those have just always been really key parts of my personality. And they're some of my favorite strengths of myself. And so I get to be like, okay, how can I bring this into my business? Like, how can I now paint this picture of a brand where you feel like I'm always going to be honest with you, and you feel like I'm going to be encouraging you and be your cheerleader and make sure that you understand that not only is everything that you want possible, but like, I want to help you do it. Cause that's how I feel around my friends and family. That's how I talk to them. Or like, one of my favorite things about myself is that I'm like extremely hardworking. And so a really core part of my brand is that like, I am not for photographers or creatives that are looking for like a perfect business handed to them. Like, I'm going to teach you how to build your best business, but I can't do it for you at the end of the day. Like, I don't pay your taxes. I don't shoot your shoots. I don't do that stuff. So I can only teach you what to do and hope that you do it. And so it's really integral to me that like my clients are also really hardworking and they're ready to implement the things I teach them. But I wouldn't have been able to identify those things if I hadn't identified them in myself first. Like, I wouldn't have been able to implement them into my business if I didn't identify them within myself first. And kind of like you said, like, I, in the beginning of my career, when I first got started, I lived in Utah. And for anyone that doesn't know, like, Utah is like the home of some of the biggest names in the industry. Like, we have so many, just hundreds of like big, big industry names. I'm like, we're home to like India Earle, Ty French, Blake Hogue. Like we have so many people there. And so it was really easy to kind of like get caught up in like, what should I do in order to be successful? Like I have all of these, you know, amazing people to look up to and see what they're doing. And when I got started, it was back in like 2014, which is when like adventure elopements were kind of picking up speed and like really LXC moody
presets.
Yes, big that. And like everyone was in Aruda scene on a mountaintop crying at sunset. Like that was the vibe. Like it's very dirty boots, messy hair, like OG times. And so I found myself kind of like dulling down my colors and like just shooting in a way where I was like, I want to get hired because I want to do this full time. And not only was I unfulfilled, but I was also like working with clientele where like they liked me, but it wasn't like they couldn't get me anywhere else kind of thing. So I wasn't earning like great money. And I had what I call like the Twitter fight, which anyone who's like spent time in my realm has probably heard about. But basically I was 20, maybe 21. And this girl had screenshot my feed and like three other big photographers in the area and posted on Twitter and was like, yawn, I'm bored. And at first I was like horrified. I was so mad because we're like so protective and reactive of our art. And again, I was like 20 or 21. So my like, ego was flying. If that happened to me now, I'd kind of just laugh, but I was mad. And so we all kind of got in a Twitter fight with her where we were like, this was so rude.
Just
like,
very out of pocket. Yeah.
Rude. Yeah. Like I was like, what was the, this was so uncalled for. Like this was projection. So rude. Yeah. And like, I'll back her on this point. She did not back down. Like she was like, no, I'm sticking to it. Like, I literally can't tell your work apart. Like you guys are boring. So chaotic. Like, where are the colors? And I was like, this
you're
is
like
so
low
mean.
Key. Okay. True.
Yeah. Well, no, literally. So that's what happened is we like got in this fight with her and then like, probably a week or so later, a couple days later, I feel like I had cooled down. And I remember like looking at it and being like, okay, yeah, my work is different than those people. Like I can tell the difference, but like low key, not wrong. Like, where are the colors? Like, why am I not obsessed with my work? And like, I mean, you probably know now it's like, I mean, you can see in this video, I'm sitting at a bright orange desk. Like I'm a rainbow girly. Like everything I own is like, yeah, crazy colored. Like my house is just like a rainbow threw up on it. Like I'm a rainbow girly. And I remember just kind of like having this little like come to Jesus with myself of like, yeah, am I even being like really authentic to who I am in my business and my photography? Like not really. And so I took that opportunity to be like, yeah, what am I called to? How can I bring this more into my work? How can I bring me into my work more? And that's when things really, really started to change. And so hopefully people don't have to, you know, have a Twitter fight to be where they start that. But by asking yourself those three questions, you can have this list of things that are not only really important and unique about you, but things that come naturally to you. And that's what's important because then you can very easily start bringing them into your business and start building this brand with no competition.
I love that. And even from the perspective of if you guys have seen Eden's like Instagram stories, I mean, her information will be all in the show notes in the description, but your house is very colorful, as is mine. And it's my room growing up, my dorm has always been that way. But then my photography at the time, like, wasn't a reflection of what my own personal style really was. So when I was like 19 and I grew up in the Pacific Northwest, so very similar to Utah, lots of like adventure photography, lots of more moody edits, which I did genuinely love. But now I have been able to connect the dots where my personal style, my interior style, my photography, it all aligns. And that gives me so much more freedom and allows me to stand out so much more. And so it's almost like if you even just look around your environment, and of course we don't all like have the ability to paint our walls and to have it truly be, you know, we don't all have the resources. We don't have the double income yet to be able to do this, right? For real. But if you see like, is your photography a reflection of your actual personal style in the most ideal way with design? And so I've had something really similar, and I think that that's the best way to be able to put it, because chances are, if you're listening, that
it might not be. And this might be what kind of clicks, and that allows you to be more inspired with your work.
No, completely. It's like, I think what I love so much about like branding and artistic voice, which is like the actual expression of your brand through photography. I think what I love so much about talking about these things is like the benefits are twofold, which is like, one, yes, you're going to book more work because your work is going to be more unique and they won't be able to find it anywhere else. But two, you get to have that personal fulfillment. Like you get to feel like you're creating artwork that genuinely feels like you. And that's such a powerful thing as an artist. Like as artists, we're not meant to be shoved into someone else's style and box. That's like the antithesis of what art is. And so it's so important that like, if I could do anything, I wish I would have identified this like first thing in my career. And if you're beyond, you know, if you've passed the first thing in your career, that's okay. There's like no better time than now to do it. But like identifying who you are, what you want to bring to the table, both as like a human and with your values and your experience, and then your actual artwork, like identifying all of that is just the best thing that you can do for yourself in so many different ways.
Do you think the best way to identify it is just writing it down on paper or looking for inspiration like from Pinterest and or magazines, trying to see what you're most drawn to when you remove the business aspect?
Yeah, I think that's like, that's also another activity that I have like a lot of my coaching clients do is like, yes, remove yourself out of it still. Like I would try not to think of the business, but like gather boards even of like inspiration of just like things you feel naturally called to, or like just things that you're obsessed with. I think that's another great thing to do if, like you said, you maybe don't have the resources right now to like have your house maybe look as like much you as you want it. Or like, if you don't have the resources right now to maybe shop the way that you want and dress yourself the way that you ideally want, Pinterest is free. Like if you're listening to this podcast, I'm assuming it's because you have a laptop or a cell phone. So you probably have enough resources to use Pinterest. And, you know, start there. Be like, what are the things that like, if I could have my life look any way I want, like if the sky was the limit, what would my life look like? You know, what would my home look like? What would my style look like? What are all of these things that I'm naturally drawn to? And then be able to look at them and not look at them through the lens of photography, but instead look at them and be like, what are the colors like? What is the lighting like? What are the emotions that they invoke? And now how can I bring those things into my work, both in my client experience and my actual photography?
Something that I love to do for finding inspiration is going to antique stores and seeing what I'm drawn to. Take photos of everything and then later reevaluate, why was I drawn to this one book cover? Why was I drawn to this dress that they had, this mirror, you know, things like that. It's a good way to be able to almost remove, if you struggle with comparison, like on Pinterest, if you're looking, I think the key is probably not to look at photography stuff on Pinterest. It's more home, typography, design. But if you struggle with comparison, then remove the digital aspect from it because you don't have the algorithm feeding you stuff. Instead, like go out into real life or go to a museum, just take some pictures of everything and then dissect why you like the certain things.
Oh my gosh. No, absolutely. I'm like, I think there's no better thing to do when trying to find inspiration than removing, even if it's just like, you don't want to remove photography in general, but like removing your niche of photography. Like if you're a wedding photographer, don't look at wedding photography anymore. If you're a fashion photographer, don't look at fashion photography anymore. Like whenever I was trying to gain like inspiration for my couple sessions, I would look at like Vogue and like Gucci ads and things like that, because I was like, I can't even subconsciously copy this with my couples or like compare it because it's so different, but I can look at, you know, composition, lighting, colors, settings, and pull inspiration from that. And I think that's like one of the best things you can do is just stop looking within your niche. And like you said, there's so many ways to find inspiration regardless of like what your preference is. Like there's something for everyone. There's music videos, there's old magazines. Like I love antique malls as well. One of my favorite things is, like going through vintage magazines. And as I've gotten like super into antiquing, this is so random, I have discovered that vintage Playboys, they have the most beautiful photography in them. Like unbelievable. Like I found this like stunning one from like 68, and they had like this whole Paris spread, which was like just couples running through the streets of Paris. There's nothing like, obviously there's Playboy stuff and Playboys, but like they will have giant spreads of like old vintage high-end photography, like fashion photography, and it is like mind-blowingly beautiful. Like the lighting, the composition, the like technicality and colors of it is just like so phenomenal and has become like so inspiring. But it's always a weird thing to bring up to people. Obviously there's a reputation around that, but like for anyone who's not opposed to needing to scroll past something, they like the photography in it is so beautiful. So like, don't be pigeonholed in what you think you can get inspiration from. You don't have to just get on Instagram. Like there are worlds outside of Instagram on where you should get inspiration and can get inspiration in a way where it's not going to add to your comparison or your imposter syndrome, or even like lead to you subconsciously almost copying, right? Because we've all done that where we like shoot a photo and then we look at it later and then we're like, I feel like I might've seen this before. Like, and then you find out that you like subconsciously had seen a photo like that a couple weeks ago and accidentally replicated it. Like that sucks. So it's better to kind of look at things outside of your niche so that you can really focus on the aspects that you're called to.
When it comes to building your own brand, are there any rules that you should stick to?
One of my favorite things to say is that like really the only right way or like rule to run your business is legally. Like you need to run it legally, but other than that, you kind of get to do whatever you want. Like,
yeah,
isn't that the point of us going like full-time, self-employed, whatever it is? Like that's the whole point of us becoming or attempting to become full-time artists. And I would argue that really the only thing that could maybe fall right under that is consistency. But other than that, like you get to do whatever you want. And there really is a client for everyone. I'm like, if you haven't opened TikTok ever, like just spend 5 minutes on TikTok. And I think that can prove it to you quicker than anything that like... Yeah. Anything is a business, like anything. And there's a client for anyone. And the sooner it can feel really scary to differentiate yourself from other people, right? It like goes against our instincts as a human. Like as a human, we want to be included. We want to be loved by all. We want to be accepted. And so it can feel really scary to be like, let me push against that. Like, let me make myself other than other people in my industry or space. However, the sooner you're able to do that and kind of almost break these rules that maybe you see within your industry, the sooner you're going to be able to differentiate yourself from your competition. Because at the end of the day, if you're following these rules or you're doing what everyone else is doing in your industry, the only thing separating you from them might be pricing. And like, if pricing is the only thing separating you from your competition, I promise you that is a quick race to the bottom. Like that will serve you for maybe a month and then you will be done. You will be tapped. You will be so burnt out. So like, it is better to get comfortable with not being like everyone else and separating yourself from the competition so that people are hiring you for you and what you bring to the table rather than you just being, you know, an affordable option or the cheapest option.
For you then, Eden, how did you personally break business rules and then be able to build a successful career when your branding is so different than the competition?
Yeah. So like I said, when I first got started / like the beginning stages of my career, like first couple of years, I lived in Utah. A lot of people, most people, like most shoots were outdoors up the mountains. It was a very like, again, if you weren't in the industry several years ago, I will paint the picture for you. Like it was all hiking, crying, like really emotional, like muddy, like let's get your dress muddy. And again, I'm a color girly. Like I love studios. I love bright colors. I love really clean things. And so I remember when I first started kind of introducing that, I was like, okay, we might lose some clientele here. Like we're basically breaking this rule and introducing really bright, colorful indoor photography to this like industry that just wants to see you crying on a mountaintop with a dirty dress kind of thing. And again, to be fair, I want to clarify, there's nothing wrong with that. That was like all we were seeing at the time though. Like that's what was really big. There's nothing wrong with it at all. It just wasn't me. And I remember when I first did like my super colorful rebrand, which now in comparison literally looks like neutrals compared to what my brand is now. but it was like, it was colorful. And I like changed my brand into kind of this like, you know, I could be a good photographer for anyone brand to like, hey, I work with people indoors a lot and I work with a lot of color and like funky, bold light. And I remember I went to a client consultation and I, at the time was, I was making like little magazines and booklets with like my pricing guide in it and experience. I was doing like a physical copy of my investment guide, basically, which I don't necessarily recommend, but this was a long time ago. And I went to coffee with the client and I was still like really, really nervous to incorporate like my studio backdrop photography. And so I just put one in. There was like on a gallery page, there was like one photo of a couple on a bright yellow backdrop that I was like obsessed with. And I remember handing her the guide and we were walking through it, walking through my packages, and she immediately pointed to the yellow backdrop photo. And I was like, oh my God, it's happening. Yay. And she looks at it and she goes, oh my gosh, that's so weird. Do people actually like that? Like people like shooting in studios? And I just remember being like, cool, cool, cool. That's just like my whole heart and soul, like slay. She did not end up booking me, honestly, thank God. But I like look back at that moment as like this moment that really could have taken my entire career and therefore life somewhere differently. Because like, had I listened to her and the fact that she wasn't for me and been like, well, one person doesn't like it, so I bet no one's going to like it, I don't think I'd have the career life I have today. And instead I just kind of had to be like, okay, that really sucks that that girl like literally hated that. She like basically said that to my face. Like, we're just going to have to power through because this is what I really like. So let's see if we can find people that like it. And over the next like 3 years, that became like my signature thing. Like my couples would fly to Utah from like all across the world. They would fly from like New York City to Utah just to get photographed in a studio for like over $1,000 kind of thing. Like it was crazy. They were spending so much money because that was just like, I stuck to my guns. Like I was like, this is what I'm going to be really good at and what I love. And this fulfills me. And there's got to be other people that like this stuff too. And that's how it worked out. And like, I think that's, I really like talking about that story specifically because I think it's hard when people, it's hard when you listen to educators and they're like telling you to do something and you're like, have you ever put in this, like, have you ever put this to the test? Like, has this, or did this like kind of conveniently work for you? And like, I want to be very clear that like, there were lots of moments like that where I was like, oh, this might not work. Like, this is actually really hard to have people openly not like my work to my face, but like you stick to it because I promise there is a client out there for anything that you're imagining. Like if you like it, I promise there are other people out there that like it too and are looking for it. And they might be looking for it and not able to hire you because you're not talking about the fact that you want to do that, right? Like you could be depriving them of their dream photography experience just because you're too scared to talk about that being an offering of yours. And so it's so important to like identify that and then to just stick with it and be consistent because like that really is how I like scaled my career in the way that I did is I was like kind of known for my three things, which were like harsh light, artificial light, and bright color. Like that has always kind of been my like holy trinity of photography. And it's definitely a little bit more popular now, but like back then it was really not popular. And I've gotten to like scale my business because there wasn't really anyone else offering that.
This podcast episode is brought to you by HoneyBook. HoneyBook is a client management program. You are able to have your client submit their inquiry form on your website and have this system automate the entire booking process. So once you get that client inquiry, they're popped at the top of your funnel and booked hands-free. So now instead of the cycle of responding to inquiries manually, answering the questions, following up with ghosted clients, you know the drill. This process should now take you 10 minutes because it is automated. So before we get back to the episode, let's talk about getting paid. Another feature I love is that you can set up a payment schedule with your clients and HoneyBook will automatically remind them that the payment is almost done and it will invoice them. I love that you can set up various payment schedules with your clients. You can break it down by percentage, exact amount, and HoneyBook will do all the math for you. It will automatically remind them when payments are due or about to be due and it will invoice them. So there's no more back and forth for you trying to track down that final payment. You can head to jessicawhitaker.co/honeybook to snag a free trial with no credit card required to set up. And if you love it, you'll get 50% off your first year. That's jessicawhitaker.co/honeybook.
What are the tangible ways to be able to scale?
So once you kind of have the principles down of differentiating yourself and your business and your artistic voice, there might be a lull for a second if you're making a big shift in your artistic voice or how you express things. And that's just because your audience either is going to change or get used to it. And that's okay. That's normal. But once you do that, there's going to be a big influx of people realizing that what you offer, they can't find anywhere else. And when that happens, you're going to get booked out quickly. And when you're getting booked out quickly, that's a sign that you need to raise your prices. And so once you're able to start building this art and these client experiences and this brand that they can't find anywhere else, you're going to be able to raise your prices. Because again, it's kind of the antithesis of what I said before, which is like, if you're doing what everyone else is doing, your only differentiator might be pricing. And then you're just going to have to like keep lowering your prices or outbidding people to get hired. Whereas if you're like, hey, I'm the only person who can give you this, they're going to pay whatever they need to pay in order to do that, right? Like there are certain people that I will eventually hire to shoot me or shoot, you know, if I get ever get married. I would never hire someone who doesn't specialize in what I'm looking for. Like that's a very distinct thing. Like I would want them to specialize in what I need. And because they specialize in it, I'll pay whatever it takes. Like there's this one photographer, their name are Yellowbird Visuals, I believe. And it's like one of those things where like, I've already thought about it. Flashy, editorial, like bright colors. Like they're the only people I've really seen merge like bright color, like bright color photography with like a documentary style. Like I feel like a lot of the storytelling documentary style I always see is a little bit more light and airy or moody, and they like it looks like a Vogue spread, and I have to hire them. But because they have been so distinctly like, this is what we do, it's not for everyone. Like the same people hiring India Earle are not going to hire them. That's just, they both would probably actively not like each other's work, like in terms of their clientele. And like I'll pay whatever I have to basically to get them, because I haven't been able to find anyone else. Like I literally over the last decade in the industry have always been like, yeah, I don't know who I would hire, because I like literally would only want to hire myself. Like I love my own photography.
I just give my camera to my friend you know, like micromanage my own wedding. And then truly.
I'm like, do I just bring a tripod? Like, how do I shoot my own wedding? And like, they were one of the first people/only people I found that I was like, oh, hold on. Like, this is someone I would completely trust to shoot my wedding. And because of that, if they send me over, I'm like, Yellowbird, if you're ever listening to this, please don't send over a 15K quote. But like, if they did, I would be like, damn, we're going to have to do it, because like they're the only people I want to shoot my wedding. And so that's how you're able to start scaling, is like you can start raising your prices as you start getting booked out, and you're going to start getting booked out because you're providing something no one else can. And one of the things I'll say about scaling and like raising your prices, because I think it can be really scary to people, you don't have to do these big giant jumps. I think a lot of people convince themselves they're going to raise their pricing, they need to double it or add like several $1,000s on, or even several $100s on. It's like, okay, you don't have to like do these big jumps at once, but like maybe every time you book 5 shoots, you add on an extra $50 or $100, and you just do it in increments, because at the end of the day, $50 isn't going to change someone's mind. $100 might not even change someone's mind. So if you do it incrementally, it's fine. And so say you register prices like $100 a month all year, that's still $1,200 extra a shoot that you're getting, which is crazy. That adds up really, really quickly. So that's one of the things I would focus on, is just like start, the sooner you get unique, the sooner you can charge more, and just incrementally raise your prices. Because it's like, yeah, if I went from charging $2,000 a wedding to 15K a wedding, that's a bit of a jump. A little scary, probably kind of, you know, daunting to a lot of people to see, but it's just like, that took 10 years of just like incrementally raising my prices.
This episode of the Build and Bloom podcast is brought to you by ContractEista, my favorite resource for lawyer-drafted photography contracts. Head to jessicawhitaker.co/photography contracts and use the code BUILDBLOOM15 at checkout for 15% off lawyer-drafted legal documents. ContractEista is your one-stop shop for attorney-drafted legal documents for entrepreneurs. Actually, not only are they attorney-drafted by a business and intellectual property attorney, but they're also peer-reviewed by attorneys with over 30 years of experience in contract drafting for multinational corporations. Anyways, Contractista actually has bundles specific for photographers that cover portrait photography contracts, wedding photography contracts, plus some legal disclosures that you have to put on your website. Just like you have to have car insurance to drive a car, you have to have attorney-drafted contracts for your clients and websites to run a business. Head to jessicawhitaker.co/photography contracts and protect yourself from that just in case. And you can use the code BUILDBLOOM15 at checkout for 15% off. That's jessicawhitaker.co/photography contracts.
So if you are scaling, how do you get these clients in the door?
What's really important is, one, I like want to say that like there's no right way of marketing, and like there's no tool you have to use. Like, I think a lot of people want to be like, I mean, you log into Instagram and you see like 30 ads that are like, this one marketing tool or like this one marketing tactic is going to change your life. And it's like, no, they all work. Like, let me be clear. All marketing platforms work. So choose the one that actually feels good to you and sounds fun. Like, if Instagram is super draining to you, don't do it. If TikTok is really draining to you, don't do it. Like, find ones that actually really work for you. But the biggest thing when you want to start booking branded clients and start, you know, scaling so that you can, you know, hit that six-figure mark or whatever it may be, is I want you to first focus on and set a rule for yourself that you're not going to share anything on any of your platforms, whether that's your website, Instagram, whatever it may be, that is not ideal work. Like, anything you advertise, you will book. Like, I can't tell you how many coaching clients I work with where they're like, well, I'm still booking weddings and all I want to shoot is branding. And I'm like, okay, cool. Let's pull up your website and Instagram. There's wedding stuff all over. And I'm like, we can't be surprised here. Like, you can't be upset that you're still booking weddings when you're logging in and that's all you're seeing. Like, of course you're still booking weddings. They think that's what you're going to book. Like, really sit down with almost like those brand principles that we established in the beginning of this podcast episode and look at your work and be like, which of these things, you know, aesthetically fit the way that I want my life to feel, or like the things that I'm drawn to, which of my images make me feel those like emotions that I feel really called to and I'm really good at helping people feel, like, and anything else, it needs to get the boot. Like, the longer you keep advertising work that you're not obsessed with, the more you're pushing back your ability to work your dream business. Like, you're going to lose some clients, but you're going to lose unideal clients. You're going to lose those unaligned clients, because at the end of the day, like, ideal clients is just, it's repelling as much as it is attracting. Like, you have to be okay with some coming and going. But like, really make sure that however you're marketing, that you're communicating like consistently, that you're communicating both the like aesthetic and emotional value of working with you. I think that's another one that's really, really important, is like, how are they going to feel when working with you? Like, what do you bring to the table as a human being, as well as an artist? And be really, really clear, and don't be scared to share work that you're obsessed with, because otherwise you're never going to book more of it. Which sounds like it would be obvious, but I feel like it's just not. We always like think we're the exception to the rule, and that like we should be sharing, you know, whatever's going to get us money in the door. And then we're shocked and surprised when we're not booking our ideal clients for tons of money. But this is the way to do it. And it'll feel scary at first, but you kind of just have to like take that little risk in yourself, right? And like, I think something that's good to always check in with is like, there's no point in being self-employed if you hate your job or like don't feel amazingly fulfilled by it. Like, otherwise, you might as well just go back to a desk job, honestly. Like, because at that point, you at least best to get that insurance. Like, if you're going to hate that job either way, I would rather have PTO and insurance if I'm going to hate my job either way. So to me, it's like, anytime I get scared to take maybe like a big risk in my business, because that still happens, I'm like, do I want to keep like myself small and like maybe missing something that I really, really want? Or am I willing to kind of take this risk to potentially get everything I've ever wanted? Right. And, you know, if all else fails, there's the desk job. But if you go into it with like this full belief and like this full determination that you're going to make it work and that you are going to give this authentic and aligned brand your all, I promise you there are people that like want to hire you for it. They just might not even know that it exists.
Right. Would you say that if somebody has their photography Instagram, should they archive those old photos or just start posting, get a big chunk of images together, do your shoot, your style shoots, whatever it might be, and just start posting those. You don't need to disregard your old feed.
Yeah. I mean, either way, I think it's kind of like whatever you're comfortable with. I have coaching clients all the time where I'm like I had one the other day and we archived a few of like her wedding posts because she didn't want to shoot weddings anymore. But I was like, sit down. We're going to grab like 15 of your favorite photos from the last like several months and we're going to post them all at once. And she's like, well, isn't that like breaking the rules of Instagram? And I was like, who cares? Like what you've been doing so far isn't like getting you where you want to go. So let's just try something new and let's post 15 photos at once and it'll get your feed looking like ideal and aligned so that when people come to your feed, their first impression is of a business that they actually want to hire rather than this business that's advertising a bunch of stuff that you have no interest in shooting anymore. So like, don't be afraid again to like break rules. Like if you want to archive posts, great, do that. If you want to sit down and post 30 photos at once, great, do that. But like do whatever's going to feel, do whatever has less resistance around it, honestly, at the end of the day. I'm a big believer that like we should enjoy our businesses. And so it's like, if one of those things sounds more enjoyable than the other, do that.
This episode of the Build and Blue podcast is brought to you by a tool that's cut my photography workflow in half without cutting into half my software budget. Like most photographers, I use the blog feature on my website to upload galleries. Narrative is a software that you download onto your computer that cuts down the time it takes to build out blog posts from 1 hour to 10 minutes. Narrative works on almost all website platforms, Squarespace, Wix, Weebly, WordPress, the list goes on. There are so many bonus features to Narrative, including a Lightroom plugin, SEO integration, adding text in the blog post, cropping within the program, which means no more back and forth with Lightroom. Oh, and it also uploads all your images as individual files, so it's not one big collage, meaning that it's Pinterest friendly. I know what you're thinking, this seems like a miracle, but how much does it cost? With Narrative, there are three package options starting at just $6 a month. And heads up, right now the program is only available for iOS, meaning Mac users. Go to jessicawhitaker.co/blog tool. You can also check out the description of this podcast episode, the show notes down below. I'll link it as well. That's jessicawhitaker.co/blog tool.
What would you say is the very first thing that somebody ending this podcast should start with immediately?
I would say really sit down and do that self-work. Like ask yourself those three questions. What are my strengths? How do I make my friends and family feel? Or how do I want them to feel? And like, how do I want my life to look and feel? Again, it's kind of bringing things back to like the house and the foundation. Once you have those concepts and principles laid out, those answers, then you can make them bleed into everything else. Like say that your emotions, like we'll go off of mine, are like empowering, bold.
Thank you, Eden, so much for your time today and just sharing your talent with us. I know that this is going to help so many photographers in prioritizing what they should be spending their time on outside of shooting. I feel like you've brought us so much clarity. Where can everybody find you?
Oh gosh, thank you. I'm really straightforward on the internet. I'm like, it's just Eden Strader, everything. I'm like EdenStrader.com, Eden Strader on Instagram. My podcast is That's My Personal Business. My website's a great place to start because we have like 10 million freebies on everything from like manifesting to how to shoot artificial light. Another good one while you're like on the topic of branding is we have like an intuitive marketing guide, which is like a free quiz to, it's almost like a personality test, but instead of telling you what your personality is, it's like matching you with the social media that will probably work best with your personality if you're having a hard time kind of talking yourself out of the marketing shoulds of the industry. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
Beautiful. I'll have all of that information in the show notes for you guys. And I'll also pop in that quiz as well. So you can just go over into the description of the show, wherever you're listening, Apple, Spotify, wherever else, and everything is linked. Thank you so much, Eden.
Thank you.
What an awesome episode. Don't forget to check out Eden on Instagram, TikTok, and her podcast, That's My Personal Business. And don't forget, you can take Eden's free marketing quiz linked in the show notes, the description of this episode. I believe in you and I believe in your business. Thanks for listening to the Build and Bloom Photography Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Build and Bloom Podcast. If you love the show, leave us a review on iTunes to keep it running. This also helps other photographers to find this free resource. Looking for more? Join over 60,000 photographers in the Build and Bloom Facebook group. Just search for Build and Bloom in Facebook groups to join in the encouraging and empowering community. You can also find Jessica's tutorials and tools on YouTube and Instagram at Jessica Whittaker, and show notes and further resources on her website, jessicawhittaker.co. Thanks for spending time here. Catch you in the next episode.